Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chong, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, connecting the history one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Well, mahalo, everybody. Aloha. We've had an incredible week this week, and tonight I've got a really special show for you. But, you know, before we open our show, we lost one of our heroes a couple of days ago. His name was John Natividad. He was known as the Giant Killer. He was an amazing pioneer, and I would like, before I introduce my producer, Mr. Bowen, to have 30 seconds of silence in honor of my friend John Natividad. Thank you. John, we love you. We're going to miss you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so excited about what we're doing. We're on this air now for 8 years, and we're in front of over 13,000 listeners, and we just received an incredible award in Las Vegas and the honor of what we're doing, but we couldn't have done it without my producer, and his name is Jesse Bowen. I'd like to introduce him now. Now, Auntie Jesse Bowen has done some amazing things these past few years, and one of them is produced this radio show. So I'd like to bring him on right now. Auntie Bowen, are you there?
Hey, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. I mean, thank you for allowing me to honor my friend John. But tell us what's going on with Jesse Bowen. Not only the books that's coming out in October, the magazines and your podcast, I'm making you go to work a little bit. So tell people what you do and what's going on, please.
Okay, well, you know, thank you, sir. Well, you know, what we do now and you know, we do martial arts, of course, but, you know, we have developed another side of which is the publishing side. And so, you know, we're really trying to use the publishing side as a communication tool to help people tell their story. And not only in the martial arts, with our outside people who are Christian authors, motivational authors, you know, a wide variety of people that are now utilizing our service. You know, what we're really, really excited about is the release of the upcoming book for you guys for the Sport Karate Museum. And this is the History General book. And the book will be, you know, focusing on martial artists that's involved in sport karate. You know, I was telling someone the other day that I probably would not be involved today in the martial arts if it had not been for sport karate giving me that challenge, that looking for that next event or that next competition. Definitely wouldn't have been a promoter and doing all the things that we have done and that we are doing. So I am just so grateful for people like John and people that came before me, you know, Victor Moore and Joe Lewis, that really, really inspired Chuck Norris and the people that have inspired us. So I am just truly grateful, you know, for that. Everything that we try to do is about building a positive mindset, something positive. The podcast is called The Power to Live Your Vision. You know, the two books we just released in Vegas, one of them was the Ernie Reyes book, and it's called Martial Artists Changing Lives. You know, this is where my thoughts are, that the power of the martial arts is the ability to be able to teach martial arts physical principles but be able to change lives. And we released the Martial Arts Extraordinaire. We're now celebrating martial artists with a half a century of martial arts study. You know, that's really something that's very, you know, commendable for people to do. So the show and everything that we're doing is really trying to impact this kind of positive message. And what you're doing at the museum to be able to archive all of these different martial artists, a piece of them at the library. And what we're trying to do through the book is to be able to share who these people are, to share that legacy. And then, you know, the magazine, you know, that's going to be digital. And it's also going to probably be a paper magazine too, you know, depending upon what the subscription is on it. But, you know, we want to be able to have that anyone, if they want to know about someone, they can go to the magazine, or, you know, in the future we'll, you know, probably have, you know, a website they can go to and access all of these different things, you know, about martial artists and sport karate that's been left behind for them. So, hey, we're pretty busy. We're really excited, looking for folks to show up. You know, we extended the deadline to the 31st, so that is definitely the most absolute deadline, is the 31st. So if you haven't registered, then I really would recommend, especially if you're a history general or if you're an ambassador to the museum, you know, register, support, and, you know, we're going to have a great time.
You're going to be real proud of me. You know, that list that you sent me, I called everybody today. And, you know, I got to talk to Doreen. Have you talked to Doreen Lorenzo at all?
Yes,
she is so, you know, I met her, golly bum, years ago at the 50th anniversary of the Internationals at the Women's Symposium. And she's an incredible Kempo person with the background with Nick Sirio and Joe Spazzari. And it's just really cool talking to those cool people. And all those friends from North Carolina, like, golly bum, I got to talk to a gentleman who trained with Martin Buell from Hawaii. That was so cool. And so making the contacts of the new pioneers, we'll call them, the guys that are, you know, they're 50, I guess, years old or whatever. But they've been around for 30, 40 years too, you know. So they're the new pioneers. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to honor, those people that, you know, maybe hadn't got the, you know, the time to tell their story. So their grandkids, their children, their family, their friends could know what they did. And that's what we're doing. We're just giving people an opportunity to tell their story. So thank you, Humpty Jesse Bowen, for what you do and everything you've done and all the work you're doing now. And I'll talk to you real soon, sir. Thank you.
All right.
Well, God bless everybody. That was Humpty Jesse Bowen, the producer of Parts Unknown, the radio show that we do. So without further ado, let me introduce a couple of my co-hosts that put up with me these past few years. One of them is Dean Piles. Where you at, Dean? Quit knocking people out and get on the radio.
I'm right here, sir. But, yeah, I am right in the middle of class, yes. But, yeah, I'm right here with you.
How you doing, animal?
I'm doing great. I know everybody... You know, kind of looking at the world circumstances, and that's what I do for a living. And, you know, that ain't going too good. So I want to, you know, take a quick chance to tell everybody in America, preparation. Always be prepared. So keep your eyes and ears open, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go. So, that's Dean Piles, one of my co-hosts. But the other co-host is my Yankee friend up there in Ohio. AJ, you there?
How you doing?
Hey, animal, how you doing? It's crazy going on, what's going on with everything, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a shame. You know, you see, what I feel bad about is you've seen all these Marines and soldiers in the past, you know, give their lives, for 20 years. And to America just walk away.
Maybe I'll tell you what, AJ. Dean, we'll probably make a show about patriotism in the next few weeks. We'll make something where you guys can talk about it and share your heart. And thank you for being one of the co-hosts, AJ. It really means a lot. So, guys, tonight we're going to do something very special. I'm going to feature what we put together a few weeks ago called The Six. And we're going to be featuring a topic tonight, and we're going to get everybody's opinion on the topic. And I've got a special, special guest that's taking the place of one of the members of the sex because he just had surgery. But I'll talk about them then. So right now, I want to introduce the lady of our group, Miss Karen Slatcher. Karen, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, tonight I want you. We're going to talk about martial art heroes. Why and who? You have some. You have some heroes.
Oh, I have a lot, but I think the first hero that I would like to say is a man named Marty Manuel, who was a kickboxer and goju guy.
Great
back
guy.
In the late 70s, early 80s, and he was the true story of guts and
yes.
Because he was a fighter. He was only about 140 pounds, maybe 135, real lightweight kid who grew up to be so fast. He was an incredible kicker. And he developed a very rare disease that built scar tissue around his spine. And he slowly but surely lost control. He became kind of paralyzed. And no one knew it, and his arms didn't work anymore. They just fell at his side. Nobody knew it because he made most of his points on spinning back kicks and punching. So he would actually let his arms fly out, and then he would spin in a circle and score points with back fists and kicks. And he stayed national kickboxing champion for 3 years before anyone knew
wow.
it. And he continued cool. to teach until 2 weeks before he died about 6 years ago. Completely, completely paralyzed. And he never stopped teaching. And that is
wow.
amazing.
That is amazing. Now, you're what we call a combination. You're a martial arts stronger person, but you're also a kung fu lady. You know, Master Qigong and everything. Do you have any heroes in kung fu?
Oh, sure. Oh, my gosh, yes. I'll just say my Sifu was one of my heroes because he was a veteran who suffered a lot of mental damage after the Korean War, and he got into kung fu and was able to bring himself back. Two of my teachers, actually, S.L. Martin, was... my Shorinru teacher, who then became a Chinese martial artist after Vietnam. And his plane was shot down, and it was the kung fu that brought him back. So they did the work. They worked hard. They didn't let anything keep them down. They just kept training because they knew the martial arts would save them. And that's what they did. Amazing. Amazing people.
Well, I had a kung fu hero. His name was Victor Chen. And, you know, he was my hero and my dear friend here in Houston. And kung fu, you know, I was telling somebody last night, we got to golly bum hang out with the monks back in the 80s. I saw some amazing, incredible things carrying. You know, you see in the movies and you think it's all imaginary, but and I saw some kung fu stuff that still is overwhelming.
Yes, indeed. Me too.
Well, don't go anywhere. Let me go on. David, D.E. Chambers, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Tell me about one of your heroes and why, or a couple of your heroes and why.
Well, one of my main heroes is the great Fred A. Simon.
Amen.
He's my hero for many different reasons. He's my hero because... he came up during a time where, you know, martial art was coming alive, and he was a pioneer in a small city, you know, and he actually made a name for himself and for the city. Grandmaster Simon was one of Jun Lee's first black belts out here in Texas. He was the first African-American black belt in the martial arts. He was one who trained a lot of individuals and made people better.
He did.
The blessing
his
of
little
the
baby.
Best.
Remember his little babies? Pearson, Sandy Pearson. Remember the girls? Billy Singletary.
Billy Singletary was one of his great productions.
Travis.
I think what made me one of the most excited about was that I got a chance for him to teach me, and I was really excited about that. And what I really look at is this. At one time, I took martial arts under Gregory Dorsey, and I always made a comment that I learned how to fight how to kick and punch on a Gregory Dorsey.
I heard Gregory had a tournament a couple of weeks ago, and it was really a good event. Yeah.
It was a good event. My kids went out there. They did a good job. I was real pleased with it. And I always said I learned how to fight under Gregory Dorsey, but I learned how to become a man.
I'm glad he's back in the scene because, I know he disappeared for a while, but I'll tell you something, D. I want to brag about that. You say fighting. You won what? How many Greek awards? Five?
There's been a couple. There's been a few.
Okay. But my point is fighting. The MVP award or the LK Golden Ring award kind of says you're the best in Texas. And you're talking about Gregory Dorsey, Fred. Those are incredible people who have the ability to pass on knowledge. Look at it. Look what you've done. Look what you're doing now. You're teaching full-time, got students. Your sons are incredible, Jacoby and your boys. I mean, it's amazing how it passed on because you got good lineage. So you have any other heroes besides Fred Simon and Greg Dorsey?
And I do. And I was going to finish up with Grandmaster Simon because of the fact that he did
sorry.
Much more in making me into a man. And that was the key part of it. He taught the martial arts, but the part he focused on being a real man is what I got from him. And you're talking about somebody respectful, somebody that can do it, can do a lot of damage to you, but is also humble. And those things, make me excited. Now,
do you remember the Red Roof Inn tournaments that he used to do before it burned down in Beaumont?
Were you
under a black belt there, were you? I think you were.
No, I was not. I was not.
Brown belt, green belt, whatever. But we had so much fun at Fred's tournaments because he had a class tournament, a show, finals. And, I'll never forget it. It was the first time I got really beat up by a guy named Fernando Robles. Remember Fernando Robles?
yes.
It's my little brother. He beat me good. I'll never forget it. But we had a good time. But God bless you, D. Let me move right on here. Now, Dr. Williams, did you get on yet? Dr. John Williams?
You hear me?
I hear you now.
Oh, okay.
Is that you?
I'm just making sure. That's me.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. John Williams. Come on in, Corporation, who's help me put together the Presidential Awards and the Extraordinary People Awards, and also got me a degree from a university. But God bless Dr. Williams. Now, do you have any heroes?
I do. I'm that youngster in the bunch, and real fast, I have about four that I really, really look up to. That one has to be Grandmaster Jesse Bowens to me because, since he's kind of taken me under his wing, I'm learning more about myself, not just because his company published my book, but I kind of look at people that and make sure that they are real. And he seemed to be a real fellow with the self-discipline. It's a critical life skill, and that's what I'm learning more about, being more disciplined, as well as Marvin King, Grandmaster Marvin King. Talking with him, he was a champion in his own, and having an opportunity to sit down and talk to him and just to try to critique where I am and where I want to be. And I had the opportunity to sit down with Michael Jai White, and what I love about Michael is every art that he got in, he went in from white belt basically to black belt.
John, he's Kyokushin. You know that. So that's real cool. He was a solid hours. And, Michael J. White is a great actor and a great person. I'm so glad you got to know him. Now, we got Richard, too. Richard, your instructor and my dear friend, he's got to be one of your heroes, isn't he? Richard Osborne?
Oh, yes, he's actually my grandmaster. I just had two more.
Okay, I'm sorry. Brooks. I get excited. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, but Jason Brooks, Grandmaster Jason Brooks,
He's one of my black belts.
He is one of the nicest guys that, you know, that you're running to. And my last one, other than Grandmaster Richard Osborne, have to be Grandmaster Dean Piles. I love him because I study him more now, Grandmaster Dean Piles, and I love what he do because not only because I'm ex-military, and he has the things that he goes through, he could have been given up. I could have been given up because of the what I suffer from, like the depression and all that. But he kind of motivates me when I watch him doing what he still does. And it makes me, I look at people Amen. Like that and say, well, if he's still doing it, I want to. He gives me that inspiration to keep going.
Well, you know,
thank you, sir.
Joe let me adopt him. Mr. Lewis let me adopt
him
years ago.
Hey,
so,
I need to jump in there right quick, Professor. I need to thank Dr. Williams.
It's your turn.
That kind of stuff motivates me. That kind of stuff motivates me. Hang on, I just want to tell Dr. Williams that kind of stuff motivates me in return to, you know, to keep me going, you know. I know it ain't my turn.
It's your turn. Who are your heroes, Dean?
You know, I got a lot of heroes, you know. Joe Lewis is going to be my hero because, you know, he raised me up in the martial arts. Grandmaster Chung that taught me Taekwondo, but, you know, with Grandmaster Lewis, it was a whole different thing because it was about, I feel like it was more real world stuff because it was about, you know, survival. It was about fighting. And when you look at fighting is technically surviving because if you can't fight, then you couldn't survive technically if it's, you know, that type of situation. But it's about how to absorb pain, and life throws a lot of pain at you, you know, in a lot of different ways. And fighters go through the same thing with mental pain, physical pain, and you have to learn to deal with that. So with Joe Lewis, it taught me a lot about that. And then, you know, Professor, you know, you're one of the people I look up to. You know, Grandmaster Lewis saw fit to you know, have you adopt me. And, you know, I come down and done my stuff in front of everybody. And, you know, we have, a lot of people don't know, but we have daily talks. And, you know, a lot of the talks that we've had, and when I was competing before COVID hit, there was not a competition one that we did not talk, you know, every day up to the competition, the day of the competition, before I went, and then a results call right after it. And, you know, you were able to get in my head and give me good, solid advice that I could believe in, not BS. A lot of people like to give you BS advice just so they can talk, and they just want to hear their self talk and be like, yeah, I told somebody something. But you give me stuff that I could actually use. You know, and Dewey Earwood is the same way. He's another one that I look up to because, you know, you guys, Yeah, and because I do, you know, a lot of people would be like, well, that's a gimmick. Why do you do a sword and a bow? Well, for one, it's extremely difficult. For two, it represents both of my instructors in one kata because my instructor, Professor Gary Lee, used the sword. My instructor, O-Sensei Dewey Earwood, used the bow. Both of these world champions would compete against each other. So when I do my kata, I'm doing a fight of them with each other that ends in an even draw at the end of the match because I put the cross up to signify them kneeling down under the cross with the sword and the bow, and then I end that kata with neither one taking the superior getting a superior position or strike.
You realize how cool that is. Dean, you realize how cool that is. I mean, that is that is cool. Not just because you do it for Dewey and I, but it's just cool that you show your love for the Lord. You show your attitude for what God has done for you through your diabetes, through what you've done. And God bless you, Dean.
Right. And you know, Gunny Cummins and Colonel Torres, you know, they're two of my heroes. Gunny Cummins, you know, had it not been for that guy, I might not have lived through some of the stuff that I went through. So we have a strong bond, and Professor, you know, he's very protective over me. And you know, we have a lot of people. You know, there's a lot of things that the military does, and there's a lot of things that the military don't do, and there's a lot of things that people have preconceived. intuitions, they think it's one way or the other when nothing is black and white. And when you think you went to the dark depths of where to go, there's something darker. And black money and stuff like that goes down farther. And they do use people. And what I want to say, people like that, they're my heroes. And even the men and women that's been fighting here recently that I've been training. And not only have I had a part in Afghanistan physically, but having my warriors have a part, the stuff that has went on here recently is a huge blow to your mindset as far as the military, as far as being a soldier, a warrior. You get a lot of, why did I do this? If this was the outcome, a lot of, now I feel useless. There's a lot of different emotions that go through when you look at something like we just witnessed this week. And I try to tell people, and I want to use this time right quick, if you don't mind, just to say to people, you know, if we have leadership that says we prepared for every contingency, and then the next words out of their mouth is, except we didn't know they would move in that fast. If your intel for your military group is that far behind, and a group of warriors like Talibani soldiers can move in that quick, do you think that the borders of the United States is safe from a superpower like China or Russia? Because if you do, you're fooling yourself.
And okay,
that's why,
Dean,
I say people need to really make sure that they get right with God and put him first, keep him in their sight, and prepare themselves and their family for the worst. Because the worst is yet to come, ladies and gentlemen. And let me tell you something. Afghani soldiers or Taliban soldiers don't hold their rifles at a 45-degree angle with their finger off of the trigger and flat down the side of the rifle. Those people have been trained by somebody else. So I'm just saying, I know I got excited.
I appreciate your opinion so much. And I appreciate, we're going to make a show so you guys can just vent it. So I got to go on. I love you.
Yeah.
So here we go. I've got AJ. Are you on the line, AJ?
I'm here.
Tell me about a couple of your heroes. I saw you put a picture of Kim up. Tell me about him a little bit.
Well, my first and number one was my instructor. You know, he was on the Korean Olympic team actually in judo until he blew his knee out. He was he was Mudokwon, but his number one love was judo, and so in order to get a black belt, you had to take judo. It's the way it was, but the picture I sent you was Grandmaster Tiger Kim out of the Bronx, New York.
And I remember him.
That was a good friend of his. He was the badass of badass. All the Koreans are afraid of him.
Was he Rock Army?
He was actually World War II generation.
Okay.
He was born in the 20s. And he was senior to Grandmaster Jun Ri. And, you know, he was 1926 he was born. He was ahead of his time. Physical fitness, he was a phenon. And he demonstrated
well.
What
do you mean by phenon? Say what? Because I'm ignorant. What is phenon?
He was like the Arnold Schwarzenegger of martial art.
Okay.
And he demonstrated well into his 60s phenomenal martial art demonstrations. And he was the martial artist of martial artists. And just a heck of an example.
Well, I know you're a Tang Soo-do animal. Do you have any Tang Soo-do heroes particularly?
Well, sure. Grandmaster C.S. Kim.
Name a couple.
And my instructor's instructor, he was considered actually, he was not only a judo guy also, but he was...
What was his name?
Well, Grandmaster Kim, and he was considered like the toughest in all Mudokwon. And there's a rumor that went around, and that he challenged Matsuyama.
Wow, challenged Kyokushin Matsuyama. Cool,
right? Yeah.
Wow. Yes,
sir.
Did he go through? Did they actually fight?
No, it never happened. Never happened. But
never happened.
The way I understand it, he challenged Matsuyama.
Wow. That's cool. Well, listen, AJ, thank you. Now I got to move right along here now. Part of the six is a gentleman. He was an actor, a writer, a coordinator, and for the Bible magazine in the early 60s. And he also was the co-founder of the Black Karate Federation. His name is Jerry Smith. Now, he's under the gun right now. He had a hernia operation, but I have somebody to take his place. And he's an amazing, he actually is a web designer for the web page for the Sport Karate Museum. And I'd like to bring up Professor Tom Spellman. Tom, are you there?
I am, Gary. How you doing?
Well, Tom, how are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
You have a couple of heroes for us, and why?
I've got one. Obviously, one of the biggest heroes in my life is Jerry Smith, being my instructor. And that he brought so much to, you know, the table when he came back from Vietnam and having trained in Okinawa and then coming to our school in Long Beach because he was stationed in the Naval Shipyard area there of Long Beach. And so he became a naval investigator. And so he got freedom to be able to kind of, you know, make his own schedules. He didn't have to show up for mustering. So he started training and teaching over at our school, and he started taking Kempo from my Kempo master there at the school. And the two of them and one of my other instructors, my Shorin Ryu instructor, Tom White, all showed up there, and they all did something rare. And that was the three of them taught me together as three instructors rather than having one fighting over the other and all that kind of stuff that so often happen. And that made for a really different education as far as being able to learn all the things they brought to the table, all the ways in which they experienced their training and the way they wove it into their lives. And taught me so much about that as far as plus the brotherhood and all the things. And, you know, two of them were Marines, so consequently there was that added camaraderie there. And then when Joe Lewis started coming to our school back in the early 70s when he was teaching private lessons and going over to the Seaside Gym in Long Beach and boxing with Jory Obeo, he would come and teach at our schools. And so I got woven into a opportunity to have semi-private lessons with him and Bob Dunnick and a few other guys that came through that particular process. So that was a really wonderful thing. And, of course, that was one more Marine. And in fact, Joe Lewis and White, and Sean Rue instructor, and John Korab all trained at the same time in Okinawa with Mr. Shimabukuro. So that was an interesting little connection. I have one person that nobody would know and that has always been kind of special to me, and that is a gentleman that during the Meiji Reformation at the 20th century in Japan, he brought his wife and came to America. And he settled in San Pedro, California, in the Harbor area, opened up a sukiyaki shop, and eventually had a couple of boys. Mm-hmm. Well, my dad was in the 20s. My dad, who was growing up there as well, befriended the boys, especially the boy, the older brother, too, and grew up with the family, kind of absorbed into Mr. Toyota's family. Well, eventually the time came where Mr. Toyota, when he wasn't in the restaurant, started teaching his boys his jiu-jitsu that he had brought with him from Japan. And he broke rank and changed everything by letting my father join them and train back in the 20s and 30s. So that was an incredible thing to have happen. At that time, you know, with all the things that were going on, and in the 20s, in the 30s, United States, they cut off immigration for Asians. And that became a real hard situation for a lot of people. And, of course, then World War II came, and both of the brothers ended up on the 42nd and fought in Italy and France. Anyway, that was just a really unusual thing. And it taught the way that I started working. At 3 years old, my dad started teaching this jujitsu that he had learned. And it was woven through everything about our family because that's the way he learned it, being part of the family household, part of the family tradition, part of the family motivation, part of the family strength. All those things were woven in. And that pretty much changed my whole, you know, way of going about all the years that I trained and everything else that I did. So that's it. And then one other person I think of that's another unusual one is Mito Uehara. And Jerry is talking about him.
Wasn't he the founder of Blah Blah Magazine?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He was a Japanese-American gentleman, and he formed up Black Belt Magazine in 1961.
Yes.
And he wanted to, you know, create this opportunity to bring the Asian martial arts to the world and especially to the
Americans. He did.
That whole thing, he created a voice for us.
Yes, he did.
That has rung strong all these years. And, you know, it's pretty incredible, you know, what he started with. The little book that he first did, the very first issue, was about a 8x10 size magazine. And it had the first karate that was ever seen in that magazine was Ed Parker.
Our friend now, my friend for many years, I'm sure you know who he is, Mike Dillard owns Black Belt Magazine now, who's been in Century Martial Arts. And he tells me periodically that he's going to make changes and bring back a lot of the traditional values of the old Black Belt Magazine, Tom. So we'll see what happens. But Mike's a man of his word, and he's a great guy, and he's going to take Black Belt Magazine to another frontier. Now, I've got a special guest also that I want to put on the show tonight on the 6th, and he talked a little earlier. It was on to Jesse Bowen. Jesse, are you there? Jesse.
Hey, sir.
Okay. Do you have any heroes?
I'm here.
Who, and why? Your heroes and why? I want to bring you on as a special guest on the 6th. So do you have any heroes that you want to share with us and why?
Oh, yes, sir. I do. I think there have been many mentors, but, you know, two people that I, you know, really look up to that I really feel I've been influenced by, and that was Chuck Norris. And a lot of times your heroes are not necessarily people that you actually know. I know my first day of starting martial arts class, I'd never won anything. I never did any sports. I was a only child, a mama's boy, and I got in karate because I didn't want anyone to beat me up anymore. And the very first day of martial arts class, I stopped by a convenience store. I'd never seen a martial arts magazine, but I walked in the store and picked up something. As I was walking out, I saw the word karate sticking above the magazine, and I picked it up. That was my first karate magazine, my first day, and there was a picture on the inside of Chuck Norris holding this huge trophy cup. His foot was up in a chair, and a little old lady was him in his uniform. I knew at that moment that I wanted to be a karate champion. And, the story of this year, past year, getting a chance to do the book and having that chance to meet Mr. Norris, you know, but I really, it was his mannerisms about him as a person. And when as a brown belt, having that chance to meet him, and I left, I walked away going, he's really a nice guy, you know.
Yeah,
so,
Carlos is,
you know, I think that,
man.
You know,
yeah.
Even today, you know, that Mr. Norris still stands out there as those heroes and role models that I still still see. And then, of course, my teacher who was, like who he is, who is still living, you know, like my dad.
Was that Jan Wellendorf or Del Brooks? Or both?
That's Jan Wellendorf.
Okay.
Jan Wellendorf he was my, you know, because Dale was a judo man, and they were partners, but I trained under O-sensei, and, you know, you have these people that open doors for you, and they begin to teach you. I'm just another guy standing in the class, and I was scared to death of him, you know. I thought he was Godzilla, you know. And but he was that person. He took a liking to me, and, you know, I started teaching as a grain belt when I went to a different shift for my job, and he paid me $25 a week. So I taught classes 6 days a week, and I never complained. And you know, I my reading was very poor. My speech was horrible. And at the end of class, if I would mispronounce a word or it wasn't correct, at the end of class, he would bring me to the office and he would share with me, you know, this is how you do it, this is how you say it. And his first book he ever
gave. What's really cool is you're now one of the best motivational speakers in the world. That's what's really cool. So you not only learn from your heroes, you've accomplished something that's way gone beyond what most people have accomplished by being around the heroes. So God bless you, Hansi Bowen. I really means a lot for you to put your opinion on your vision of your heroes on the six. And I want to say thank you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the six is really interesting.
Hey, Gary?
Who's this?
AJ.
Oh,
let me throw in
what
there,
is
you know, Chuck Norris was talking to though, by the way.
Oh, yeah, he is talking to though.
Just throwing
that
in.
That's right. Well, I was going to throw that in. You didn't give me time, AJ. I'm just making sure
you got it.
I'm just kidding. Well, I got to move right along here. Now, one of my heroes is someone who invented something that is going to change the world. It's not only a hologram of virtual reality. He's allowed to put the history general portals of all the history of all the people that we're talking about inside a VR set. Now, Dr. Lee, are you on, Reggie?
Yes, sir. Good evening. How are you
I'm
doing today?
I'm about you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Reginald Lee. Now, I know that some people in the martial arts put doctor and whatever in front of their name, but this Reggie Lee is a real medical doctor that works in the hospital who's dealt with this pandemic for all these months or years last year we had to deal with it. But he's also the inventor of SetVR.app. Now, this is a virtual reality hologram that he's invented that attacks you, and we're going to add the History Journal portal. So, but I'll let him talk about it a little bit. Exactly what SetVR is, and maybe a couple of his heroes that have come across in his life. Reggie, take the grain.
Yeah.
Tell us about SetVR.
Yeah. Just a little bit about my heroes. While growing up in Philadelphia, we just basically
you're
grew
Yankee.
Up with.
Oh, I know you're a Yankee.
Yeah,
I'm
a Yankee. Yeah. I'm in the East Coast, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Basically, I have two heroes growing up. I was a student in Kung Fu, Hung Gar, Wing Chun. Sifu Satlow, and Sifu Jinfu Mark, who is a phenomenal instructor in Praying Mantis in Philadelphia, in Chinatown. They belong to separate associations, the Hip Sing Association and the On Lang Association. You probably heard about way back then and historically about the Tang Wars, about the Asians when they used to fight among each other in California and New York and
Dip
all that.
Shurikens and poison. I heard about that.
Yeah. So those are basically those lineages, you know, basically the culture around that. And basically I grew up down the road and kind of went into those programs in regards to learning Kung Fu under those Sifus. Later on, my heroes, when I graduated from medical school, unfortunately, my Sifus had passed away, and I sought for instructors, and I went into the Sensei Richard Wigginton, and he was a phenomenal instructor. I trained, started with him in the 1980s. He was very good in, very proficient in ninjutsu, aikijutsu, and karate. He was the lineage of
he
professor
was under Ronald Duncan.
Ronald Duncan, correct, from New York, phenomenal, you know, instructors. You know, they're very, very good in what they do. They not only was Sensei Richard Wigginton an instructor of karate martial, he was also a boxer. I didn't know you knew he was a boxer. He was very proficient in a boxer. He was very, very worth as a weapons instructor. As you know, he can pick up a blade or anything and use it, or use any object and use it as a weapon. So he was very, very versed, very versed, and also in the Chinese art of kung fu as well. I noticed that he simplified the art of self-defense. He always taught me to neutralize an opponent very quickly, and he always stressed the art of hidden hand to react by reflex and to prepare for any unpredictable attacks. The other amazing hero I would like to bring up is Sensei Richard Shanahan. What can I say about Richard Shanahan? He was amazing as well. Interesting about him, I've noticed that what he can do very well is blend into the environment. He appears and disappears. He's very good in regards to the act of almost being invisible, cloaking, very effective in neutralization, and you definitely do not want to get on his bad side. That's Sensei Richard Shanahan. Let me speak about Set VR. We moved the excitement bar with Set VR by introducing the history portal, the backdrop of the future development of Professor Gary Lee's vision of having a history portal in virtual reality. We also had incorporated what's called a practice mode in Set VR, whereby you can practice and a warm-up phase where you practice against a virtual reality dummy by striking specific targets, and also you'd be practicing against a hologram by moving linear, angular, and circular. So you'd be actually, when you get through the program with the practice mode and the warm-up mode, you'll be able to move and strike as you strike the targets while in motion. So that's pretty neat. So we are super excited about Set VR, a program whereby my partner, Richard Shanahan, Marie Shanahan, and my developers had put together self-defense enhancement training in virtual reality as a platform whereby you can practice your skills in self-defense whenever, wherever you want. The program is compact and portable. You can take it anywhere where you travel, and you can even take it during a pandemic. Unfortunately, I believe that the pandemic is probably coming. You can see the numbers and data on TV, so it is coming. You know, getting out there. You can continue to practice your skills in self-defense while continuing to practice social distancing. With the Oculus Quest and Oculus Rift headset, you'll be transported to a virtual reality platform where a hologram will confront and attack you when you least expect it with random attacks. The goal set the odds to be to able to neutralize an attack or threat that is stunning and unpredictable and random. To practice to improve your skills in evasion through angular, linear, and circular movements to avoid and place you in an opportunist position of an advantage for neutralization as you practice to improve your skills in timing, speed, and accuracy, and to improve muscle memory, and my goal, to develop a reflex response to a threat or stimulus to neutralize without hesitation. Just like a youth, I place your hand on a hot stove. You'll be able to act reflexively by removing your hand. Basically, that's basically what the goal of Set VR is, to have you work and to work reflexively against a threat or an attack. To be able to practice your techniques on forms and kinds that you've learned in your schools against a random attack, and to practice anywhere when you want. We plan to have scenarios or simulation programs whereby you'll be placed in a scenario of multiple attackers, a home invasion, a barroom setting, and even a war zone setting. Set VR will push you maximally to your limits in self-defense. We've recently updated our programs with kicking, punching, kicking combinations, also knife attacks. As you know, knife attacks are very deadly up and close. We have implemented that program into our Set VR program. We plan to have future updates whereby we can have virtual matches with Professor Gary Lee, can have virtual matches with AJ, the Wolverine, or either, or anyone he does and his colleagues, any parts of the country or any parts of the world, but you can practice against each other and learn from each other in regards to neutralization and practice the art of self-defense. We've implemented the program metrics whereby you can record the number of sets of punches, number of blocks, number of evasions, whether you're left or right side dominant, and record the endurance spent as time spent in experience. You'll be able to learn the importance of creating a diversion as you grasp the attacker's arms or wrist to create a 1 to 3 second pause, a natural response, a window of opportunity for neutralization. We've implemented a program of mindfulness, of stretching, meditation. Also, we'll present you with your own personal yoga instructor. So please continue to visit us at our website at setvr.app. That's setvr.app. We'll continue to update SetVR in the future to help you practice and maximize the application of self-defense when you want and where you want. We continue to be proud to endorse Professor Gary Lee and the Sports Karate Museum to be the future platform of his vision of the History Portal. Professor Gary Lee, with that, some few words about the History Portal.
Well, remember, everybody, just go to Google. That's all right. Just go to Google and type in SETVR.app, and you'll see everything that Dr. Lee talked about. But the future is going to be really cool. Imagine all the history of everybody that we put together in 30 years in portals that's on the Internet. Now, we're going to start with a core group of Mr. Steen, Mr. Burleson, Mr. Stone, other people. And then every month, we're going to add a new history general. So eventually, if you're a history general, your history will be in the portals. So we're excited about that. And thank you so much, Reggie, for sharing with me everything for the past few months about what SetVR is. Now, you're going to be in Houston October 1st for the Power of Women, the celebration for the ladies, and you're going to actually have the headset there, and people can try it and experiment and see what SetVR is. Now, October 1st at the West Chase Marriott in Houston, Texas. And for more information, please just go. Wait a minute, AJ, wait a minute. And then go to 713-483-0476 for more information on the event called The Power of Women. I'm sorry, AJ. I had a commercial going, and you interrupted me. Go ahead. What did you want to say,
buddy? That's good. Somebody needs to interrupt you.
go ahead. What do you want to say,
you know, what Professor Lee was saying, you know, about it being interactive, it's impossible with the SetVR not to be interactive. You know, if you've trained in martial arts for a while, your instincts absolutely take over. It's like crazy. And anybody that hasn't even trained in martial art will react. So it will start training them automatically, because they will automatically react to the stigma that comes upon them.
Correct.
And that's
from an old fogey that's been around forever. And, you know, I know it's new technology, but you're a good example, AJ, because, you're a hardcore martial artist.
No,
we got to put a headset on your face.
Even a beginner that starts, you know, to interact with SetVR, they will have to interact with it. It's crazy. Automatically make you respond.
Well, the check's in the mail, and you're hired, AJ. I love you. God bless you. Now, one of my favorite segments that we got going on, The Parts Unknown, is someone you talked to earlier, and you know he's my student, but he's also alias